reading of the second mystery drama written through Rudolf Steiner, I should have said earlier, entitled The Soul's Probation. This is scene 10. The following is the continuation of the events which took place in the first five scenes. The same landscape as in scene 5. Capacius awakens from a vision which brought before his soul the pictures of his previous incarnation. Capacius. Oh, this strange countryside. A bench, a cottage, and a glade before me. Do I know them? They ask insistently for me to recognize them, yet they oppress me. They bear down as a heavy load upon me, though they seem real. No, all this is but an image woven of soul fabric. I know these images were formed out of the thirst and yearning of the soul. I have emerged, as if awaking from this yearning out of the widespread ocean of the spirit. Haunting and frightful rises from my soul depths the memory of all this longing. How searing was my thirst for worlds imbued with life. Delusions craving grew from want and burned, consuming my whole being. I wished tempestuously to be and live, and all existence wanted to escape me. A moment that now seems eternity poured storms of agony into my soul as only a full life can bring with it. Before this yearning's terror seized me, there rose what had created it for me. I felt myself expanded to the universe, bereft of my own being. But no, it was not I who felt this way. It was another being sprung from me. I could see men and deeds of men develop from cosmic thoughts, advancing throughout space, and pressing to reveal themselves as beings. Then they unfolded, one whole world of life before my eyes, in pictures, tangible. They took from my soul fabric the power to create existence out of thought. The more this world condensed itself before me, the less I could sustain the feeling of myself. And from the world of pictures, words resounded that thought themselves and stormed upon me. From life's deficiencies they fashioned beings and gave them strength from deeds of goodness. Out of the wide-flung space they sounded warningly, O man, know thou thyself within thy world. A being whom I saw confronting me showed me my soul to be his own. And then these cosmic words continued, as long as in the circle of your life you cannot feel this being closely interwoven, you are a dream that only dreams itself. I could not form clear thoughts, but I could see chaotic forces working and upsurging from nothingness to being, from being into nothingness. But when in spirit I strive further back, remembering what I could see before this chaos, there stands before my soul a picture of a life which is not so confused as all those things that I perceived in later moments, but which, in all its detail, showed me clearly men's lives and actions. Within this picture I would seem familiar with the people and with what they do. I recognize each soul I see. Their body shapes, however, are transformed. I look upon all this while feeling I could be myself a being of this world. It shows itself to me as real life, but leaves me cold, without emotion. It seems as if its working on my soul restrained itself until the later moment which earlier stood before my spirit. Amidst a spirit brotherhood, I could perceive myself and others too, but as a picture of those times long past that wrests itself from memory's deep wells. I can see the miner, Thomas, as my son, and then my thought must link him to the soul shown otherwise to me within Thomasius. The woman whom I know as Ceres now appears as my own child before my eyes. Maria, who befriends Thomasius, reveals herself clothed as a monk who fights our spirit brotherhood, and Strater bears the mane of Simon the Jew. In Joseph Keane and in his wife I see the souls of Felix and Felicia. I can survey quite clearly the lives of other people and my own. But while I am absorbed in them, they disappear out of my spirit view. I can perceive how the soul fabric that wove these pictures now pours itself into my soul, and I feel blissfulness is permeating my whole being. Freed I seem from sense's limitations. My being is expanded to the far reaches of the universe. Again I feel that long, extended moment which I lived through before I was confronted with that picture of a life. Now I can look still further back. Condensing out of cosmic power of thought, there comes before my eyes the glade, the cottage, where Felicia and Felix so often comforted my sorrow. I find myself back on this earth, from which I was so far removed by earthly times and world's far reaches. But what unfeelingly I could behold before, the picture that revealed itself to me is settling like a heavy mist of soul in front of everything my senses now perceive. It's changing to a nightmare, the picture that so weighs on me, it's writhing in my soul depths. It opens cosmic portals, distances of space. What storms into my being's depths, what surges toward me from far reaches of the worlds? A voice as spirit conscience. Be aware of what you've seen. Be alive to what you've done. Renewed you are, reborn to being. Your life you have been dreaming. Rework it out of noble spirit light. Perceive the tasks of life with sight-empowered soul. But if you fail in this, to empty nothingness forever, are you bound? The curtain falls while Capasius is still present. End of scene 10.